Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing Cloak and Dagger Season 2's openers, Episode 1, Restless Energy, and Episode 2, White Lines.
Woo! Getting some good new teleporty broody guy and too wild for her own good stabby girl. Real excited. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name's Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
What is happening, Jeff Randall? How you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing pretty freaking good, sir. Cloak and Dagger has come out.
Yeah, right?
Season 2.
Season 2 is here. Yeah, man. I'm excited about it.
Almost under the radar.
Yeah, well, that, and it's under the radar because there's so much other big stuff going on. We got Avengers, the finale of 10 years is about to happen, and then they drop, you know, Cloak and Dagger. It's like, I'm just not thinking about Cloak and Dagger right now.
Right?
My mind is elsewhere.
We're talking about, like, people coming back to Thanos because they couldn't live with their failures in a trailer, and then now you're dropping freaking Cloak and Dagger on me? I ain't got time for Cloak and Dagger. I'm going to make time for Cloak and Dagger.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Right? But we're going to make time.
That's right.
This show is really freaking good.
It is really good. I really enjoyed last season. I think it's one of my favorite, like, you know, just network TV shows. I think the Netflix shows are a little better, but this has been really good, and it is connected. They in the first episode, I forget. They said two lines that made me think they were like giving a nod to the fans. They said it's all connected at one point in the episode, and I was like, fun. It was like they were.
Did they?
They did. Someone. It was something about the gangs or something. It wasn't like they were talking about the universe, but I felt like that was a nod to the fans, the fans of canon, like myself.
The Fanons.
The Thetans. Wait, no.
No.
That's a different thing.
No.
So, let's get into this first episode. What'd you think? I guess verse two. We're just gonna kind of cover them as a block.
I mean, that's how they got released.
It is how they got released. I did. I will say, I almost wanted the first episode to not. I didn't really want the second episode to start because once all those people. Spoiler alert, by the way.
Yeah.
3, 2, 1. Spoiler alert.
People died.
Frank Castle killed everyone. I wanted it to be Frank Castle so much, and I know it's not going to be. I don't believe that they're going to do a Frank Castle thing, but. Until the next episode where we saw that it was probably looked like some sort of sword, probably some sort of stabbing or slicing implement that killed all those people.
Yeah.
I was so hopeful that it was Frank Castle, and in the recording you could hear like a sword swinging around. It sounded like metal swinging, slicing.
Yeah, it sounded like there was just. Claws, almost.
You think? I thought it sounded like shing, shing. Like there's a couple of those sorts of sound effects.
I think that was the metal tables in there because it's, you know, it is a kitchen that they were meeting in.
Oh, that's possible. That's possible. I thought they were alluding to swords, but then we find out at the end of the second episode that there is apparently a second police officer running around. I guess this character
O'Reilly.
O'Reilly has split into two people somehow. I thought we were going to get a very similar storyline as to what we got on Iron Fist Season 2 with Typhoid Mary.
Yeah, with a little bit of dissociative personality disorder going on.
That's what I thought was going to be happening, especially when we see the scene where, you know,
where she's talking to herself in a puddle.
Yeah. I was like, oh, this is going to be that. And then, no, it's actually another physical representation of her. Has somehow been created. Was it created in this episode? Is that what happened?
No. What I'm thinking is going on here is it said, you know, like last season on Cloak and Dagger, like when it last showed her, the line had been blown up, like the line for whatever they were pumping out had been shot by the cop as she fell into the water. So it exploded and she went into the water, and then two of her came out. And this chemical clearly deals with people's fears and hopes.
Yeah.
So where Tandy and Tyrone can kind of, you know, see people's hopes and fears, you know, mentally, like they can get into their minds. I think her mind and also body have been split into two.
I like
to
that.
Where one is the hopeful, but, you know, trying to be kind of hesitant cop. And then the one is just the one that's, you know, has lost all faith and is just killing bad people.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I really enjoyed the fact that they really got into it in these first couple episodes. They just kind of dove in, and immediately they're having Tandy and Tyrone, like, meet and talk. I really hate when our main characters just don't talk to each other, and that's a big source of the drama. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's really frustrating to me.
When the drama could be solved by just a fucking conversation.
Yeah, that's frustrating to me. And so I liked that, you know, sure, they're doing some things they shouldn't be doing separately. She's chasing down, you know, abusers, and he is chasing down drug dealers, kind of people that have impacted their own personal lives. And they're not really doing it in any kind of, like, official capacity. And they're trying not to get each other roped into it. So there's an understandable reason why they wouldn't be talking about it. But then they basically do have those conversations. And by the end of the second episode, it seems like they're having a... they're both wanting to do good. I'm excited about sort of just like a do-good storyline.
Yeah.
For these characters.
Well, it also seems like they're trying to do good against the thing that they feel is hurting them the most. Like, with Tandy, she's trying to get over her father, like, trying to get over finding out that her father was an abusive, you know, abusive person, you know, father, husband, etc. And, right. You know, that was really upsetting. That was shocking for her. That rocked her world. Her entire understanding of her father was just completely shattered. And then with Tyrone, he feels like his life was completely wrecked by people who were dealing and selling drugs, this detective being one of them, and all of the people that were a part of that, all of these gangs and the gang violence, you know, has really upset and just kind of completely shattered his life, so he's trying to fight against that so nobody else has to deal with it. Like, they've got some needs and some issues that they're trying to work out, but I don't think that they, the characters, quite understand that about themselves yet.
Mm. Yeah, I think you're right. I think that, that in a way, what they're doing is sort of selfish. Even though they're going out and trying to do good, they're not really trying to do the most good for other people. They're trying to work through their own issues.
Yeah, they're trying to fight their own demons.
Yeah. For sure. They're definitely, I think they realize it to some degree, but it's definitely a little under the veil still. And I think we're going to get that more.
Tandy did mention it lightly. She was like, maybe I'm not done working out my issues with my dad.
Yeah.
And I think she said that just kind of offhandedly without actually like fully embracing that's what she's doing.
Yeah. I like that.
It's like she knows the words, but doesn't really understand it yet.
Yeah. Or at least hasn't decided to make a change based on the things she's learning or the things she's realizing about herself, which, you know, that's a whole different step. So, I thought this was a really cool episode. It was very well directed, well shot, well written. All the characters feel fleshed out and real. I just really liking Cloak and Dagger from the beginning. It's been a really good show. The exception of a couple, like, directorial decisions I didn't like in the first season, but for the most part, it's been a really, really solid show, and this is exciting because it's starting out in a place where we've got characters that we know, we now care about. They all have sort of baggage that's built up from season one, and now they're just sort of embarking on a new adventure. And that's kind of fun. I'm excited.
Yeah, and they're being kind of realistic about their powers, I guess. I don't know that realistic is the best way to say that, but it seems like a real progression is going on, because like in the episode when Tandy and Tyrone meet up and Tyrone just kind of blinks off to, or not blinks, sorry, it's a different character, when he teleports off to one space and comes back and she's like, well, look who's been practicing. Like, you never get that that kind of banter about someone using their powers like that or practicing with their powers. Mm. Like you don't get that banter in other superhero shows. It's just like, oh, yep, they're using their thing. That's what they do.
Yeah. I love a good slow progression of powers.
Yeah.
You know, just in general, any show that does that well is kind of fun. Because, you know, there's always a new thing to be learned and conquered. And
yeah, it's like we're growing with them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's fun. I know 084, one of our listeners, our kind listeners and kind patrons, wrote in a pretty extensive feedback. You want to run through that, and then we'll see where that leads us in the conversation?
Sure, sure. Let's see. He said, first line is Cloak and Dagger with 5 exclamation marks. What a great premiere! I'm going to jump right into things. And then, first bullet point. The first episode started off the same way that last year's premiere started. Tandy doing ballet, and Tyrone going around a neighborhood in a hoodie. Nicely done, show.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep. Second bullet. Frustration was a clear theme in the episode. I love the montage of both of them with their outlets, basketball and ballet, and trying to blow off the steam building up. And you can feel the frustration and the struggle in both of them. Their crime fighting actually reminded me of Spider-Man Homecoming. Kids going off and trying to use their powers for good, and learning that even with good intentions, all actions have consequences. Only instead of Iron Man flying in to save everyone, they have Mayhem coming in to just ruin it all. That'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
The next bullet point is the second episode opening was the most beautiful visual of cocaine and blood that I've ever seen. Okay, it's a short list.
Yeah, I don't know of many cocaine and blood. I'm sure there are some. I mean, Scorsese is a thing.
Yeah, his use of blood as a visual effect is pretty well known.
Just violence and drugs swirled together.
Just kind of stirred up into a pot. Tap the edge to get the excess off. Next bullet point is kind of surprised they're going with a Rashomon episode style already. Some of the transitions between characters did feel a little awkward, but it worked out in the end.
I'm not sure what Rashomon is. I'm guessing that he's talking about the back and forth non-linear storytelling.
I believe so.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. They did that a lot last season, so I think they were just picking up where they left off with that technique. But yeah, I thought it was used to mixed effect in this episode.
Yeah, I was kind of excited that they were going with that, you know, going back to the singular point and then following the thread and, you know, watching how they branch out. And then it kind of like, it started off really good because we had that one central point at the end of the last episode, or at the end of the first episode, beginning of the second one,
yeah.
You know, that one like focal area.
That Frank Castle moment.
Right, the Frank Castle moment. They had that one time when they were all together, and it was like, that was our anchor. And then the threads branched out, but then they kind of like lazily looped back together and kind of didn't, like, it kind of fell apart.
Yeah. And it definitely wasn't as clean as it has been. In previous episodes and previous seasons. If you're going to do a nonlinear storytelling, you really do have to have a strong anchor point to really make it clear what's going on.
Yeah. And if you're going to do it over and over again from different points, it has to be like your next point has to be a strong anchor point.
Yeah. This was no Tracks from season one of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Whew.
Man, like that's the one I keep going back to.
Yeah, it's one that we, you know, in the MCU, it's one of the first one times this technique was realized. You know,
so, yep.
But it's kind of funny to just keep referencing Tracks from like 5 years ago.
Yeah, and that was actually the first episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that Stan Lee made a cameo in.
That's right. Oh, wasn't it the only one? Like he made a physical cameo.
I think it was the only one where he was like, you know, actually saying something.
Right.
But, oh man, now I'm not sure.
I think it's the only
one. I feel like he's shown up like cameo. In a picture or something.
Maybe. He definitely showed up in pictures in all of the Netflix stuff.
Netflix stuff.
But I want to say that's his only actual cameo in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But there definitely could have been something in the background that I'm not thinking of.
I've got to rewatch all of it just to make sure.
Got to dig in.
Here we go. Right now.
Mm-hmm. We'll be back. We'll be right back. All right, everybody, we're back, and yeah, I was right. I don't even remember what my point of view was, but I'm pretty sure I was right.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's perfectly normal thought to have. The next bullet point for OA4 is, my first thoughts when meeting Andre. Nope, stranger danger. He's too helpful. Don't trust him. Not one bit. There's another big antagonist this season, isn't there? Mr. Jip from the comics? Calling it. Especially since it's really weird that Michaela somehow runs out of that group and somehow winds up in a human trafficking ambulance connected with the gangs Tyrone has been going after. There's a missing thread there, and I think this new helpful guy is it.
Hmm. 084, who hurt you?
No, I get it. I get it, 084. I get where you're coming from. And you know what? I'm going to jump on that bandwagon, too. I like this idea. Andre, you're no friend to me.
All right, you guys, we'll stand on opposite sides of this. I don't have any reason to believe he's not a bad guy, except for he's just a good guy, guys. Come on, can't there just be good guys?
No, there cannot be just good guys.
Can't there just be good guys?
Not in the MCU, not in Nolans.
Aw, but I'm from Nolans.
But you're not in the MCU.
That's true. You said not in MCU, not in Nolans. Like, yeah, it was two different qualifiers.
They were nested. It was, one was inside the other.
Russian nesting points. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. I certainly wasn't thinking of nested if statements in programming. Tandy's powers going haywire was a cool touch, and it's exciting that their abilities continue to develop. What was up with Michaela's hopes not being hopeful? Maybe the heroin in her system messed her up. The outburst at that therapy group. It was for sure the episode's Tandy No moment. I can understand it, though. It's a great representation of an outside view of abusive relationships, and her sitting and listening to all of this for months and not being able to process people, not just running away, because that's what she's done her whole life, it builds up, and we see it come out to a breaking point with her. But then we see her go Super Saiyan and take out a truck, and man, that was so cool!
Yeah, that was cool. I gotta say, he makes a great point about Tandy's powers. When she touches Michaela, she's supposed to be the one that sees the hopes, and that is not a hope. I'm worried that they've just lost that thread, and they were like, well, she touched Michaela, she can just see something that she's seen, but that's not what Tandy's power is supposed to be, and I was kind of annoyed by that scene.
Well, there was, in the first season, there was that episode where they were reliving that moment with the dude.
Sure, but that was because both of them were there, and both of them were reliving something the man was currently reliving himself. They were, like, entering the guy's mind.
And they both touched her mom's hands and experienced a memory. So I think what their writers are trying to do is pushing for, like, because they've experienced it a couple of times, they're both able to just pluck memories independently. They may not have control over it, but they haven't really, like, they haven't really shown, or they haven't written for that. They haven't really developed towards that even.
Yeah. They really need, if they're going to go with something like an expansion of powers, they need to hang a bit of a lampshade on it for me to, like, oh, that's what they're doing. Because it just seemed like they were expanding her powers without really mentioning it.
Yeah, it felt like they were just kind of going with, you know, whatever sounded reasonable, maybe, with her powers. They were just like, what could we do? Maybe it's just any memory.
Right. I don't really like the idea of them just using those powers to show them whatever they need the plot for them to see.
Right, you know? Right.
I just want them to stick to what their powers are supposed to be, which she sees their hopes, he sees their fears.
And when they both touch them together, they get memories.
Yeah. And you know, they don't know how their powers work. We don't either. And so it's very possible we'll get an explanation of that. But it just seemed like something that they were just like, well, I hope they don't notice this isn't a hopeful thing she's seeing. We notice. We notice, Marvel. Yeah,
we noticed. What I would really like them to have, because these characters are you know, their origin is linked, and throughout the first season, their powers were pretty well linked. And in the comics, they are an inseparable duo. I really want these characters in the show to also have that one thing that they can only do together. Yeah, you know, I want their powers to be relevant to each other like that. Like, I want that. I want that to stay pure like that.
Me too. Me too.
Anyway, next bullet point. I'm really grateful that Evita showing up didn't fully distract Ty from worrying about Michaela being kidnapped. A lesser show would have had him completely forget. It's also cool that she helped him calm himself and get him to add to his power set. Bonus points to her for pulling a Black Widow and kissing him strategically. And she gave us a time setting, 8 months after, whenever season one took place. And either before Infinity War or after, depending on what happens in Endgame. I'll have that figured out in a few weeks. It's likely that we're in August or January, since Tandy stole him a syllabus for the classes he's missing. Also, great touch that he's still trying to be educated, even when in solitude. Also, 8 months without washing his clothes, and he's running around and working out in them? Cool, cool, cool. I hope he at least snuck somewhere to brush his teeth at some point before kissing Evita like that.
I liked Evita in this episode.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really easy for the just love interest female character, especially when they're getting mad at the hero for going off and doing their heroing. It's really easy to sort of make that a not likable character, especially when, forgive me if I'm wrong, but in the comic books, Tandy and Tyrone are a couple.
Yep.
And so I think there's a little bit of like, will they, won't they there? And I think that even gives more credence to the possibility of Evita being sort of an annoying character, because we're just like, oh, she's just an obstacle. Just a
speed bump on the way.
Yeah, she's just a speed bump, an obstacle to get through. And so far, I've really enjoyed her character a lot. I like how she cares about Tyrone and tries to see things from his perspective, even when he is being kind of a jerk and not letting her know he's okay. She still comes back and says, you know, I can't know what you're going through. What you're going through is different than my experience. And it's kind of cool.
I really like that she had the maturity, the emotional maturity even to do that, to like, just kind of stop for a second and be like, you know, I don't know his life and I don't know his struggles. So maybe I can just let him talk to me like he wanted to do and just see what happens from there.
Yeah, totally.
I like that she was able to do that. And I do feel like they're leaning a little bit toward the possibly Tandy and Ty relationship, but they're holding out on it. You know, they're making them work for it.
Yeah.
I worry though that means that something's going to happen to Evita.
Ooh, good point. I hope not. I like Evita as a character, but you know, I like her, so the loss of her might be just what I need as a viewer, you know?
Don't say that. What you're doing is like, you're going, it's okay, go ahead and kill her, because I know that's what I need as a viewer to get into the story.
Yeah, there's a great quote from Joss Whedon. She's a fictional character, Jeff. It's okay.
It's not okay, Matt.
There's a great quote from the great Joss Whedon, he considers himself the god of the little universes he's creating, and he tries to give the viewers what they need, not what they want.
Oh, goodness.
And so the whole idea, you know, he's very well known for killing off main characters and characters, some of the most lovable characters he ends up killing off or having go through horrible things. And his whole thing is he gives the viewers what they need, not what they want. And I think it works. It works, you know. And I can't complain because those are some of my favorite shows. Joss Whedon has some of my favorite television. So, kill her if you need to, guys.
Yeah,
but she is a great character. I really like the actress, and I like the actress. I like how she's portraying Evita.
All right. So next bullet point: mayhem. I was a little annoyed that they leaned so heavily on her in marketing, because the second something goes wrong in that club, obviously that was going to be her. I did like the multiple twists with her afterwards. It first surprised me that she was a cop still and living kind of normally. Like, what happened when she crawled out of that swamp? How did she get back to being herself? Then we saw Mayhem's reflection in a puddle and the personality shift, and I was like, oh, okay, they're going to do a Typhoid Mary better than Iron Fist did. Then the final twist, that they're two completely separate people and that Bridget wasn't the one who crawled out of that swamp. I have to hand it to them, I didn't see it coming. I'm excited to see the actress get to show her range this season. Fun tidbit, I watch with closed captions. When Mayhem walked into that kitchen and started talking to the other cops, no joke, the captions identified them as Hard-Ass 1 and Hard-Ass 2.
That's true. I watched that too. I saw that with Crow's guy. I was like, "That's." I meant to make a note of that to mention. That's really funny. Hard-Ass 1 and Hard-Ass 2.
That's good. Overall, I'd give this an 8.5 out of 10. It was amazing and gave me a lot of what I wanted. I want to give it room to go up later, and the Rashomon style in Episode 2 was slightly awkward. Oh, and Marvel does a Cloak & Dagger after-show podcast that everyone should give a listen. For the first episode, they had Aubrey and Olivia on with them. It was so clear that they understood the characters so well and aren't just cashing paychecks. And some really fun background on the club scene as well as the question, waffles or pancakes? Until next time, true believers, Excelsior!
Oh, thanks, man. Cool, I didn't realize they were doing an after show. An official after show, as it were.
I don't think we approved that. Nobody wrote and asked me.
No, man, nobody wrote and asked me either. We obviously are the only purveyors of podcasts about Marvel.
I don't know if I like that.
Well, anything else you want to talk about this episode? I'd love to talk about it for hours. I'm really liking the show, but we got to get to our next episode to talk about some of this in-game stuff and all this other feedback we got.
Oh, man. I only want to say about the episodes of Cloak & Dagger is that I'm glad that they're back. It's a really good show, and I hope that Episode 5 coming out on the same day as Avengers Infinity War doesn't completely kill the ratings.
Ooh, yeah, that's fair. All right, guys. Well, we are the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. Hit us up at mcucast.com, at mcucast on Twitter, facebook.com/mcucast, mcucast@gmail.com, or call us at 573-CAST-MCU. Yeah, we love you guys. Thank you so much. Oh, and thanks for everybody who's patron over on patreon.com/mcucast. We got lots of great supporters over there, and we appreciate you all very much. And if you haven't done that yet, go to patreon.com/mcucast. Really helps us out if you can share a few pennies with us. Really does. We'll be back with you soon. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.